So I guess on this Father's Day, what is our Heavenly Father's wisdom for us? Is be careful of the company that you keep. Because the people that you spend time with, you will become like them. I mean, think about the crowd that you hang out with and think if they're going to take you somewhere where you want to go. If not, find another crowd, because you will go to the same place where they're going. And just, for goodness sake, make sure that your closest friends are wise, godly, righteous, the kind of people who live out the wisdom of Proverbs, because then you'll disciple and build each other up in good ways. Because ultimately, the people who you're spending time with, you're going to be discipling and building each other and building each other up into something. And this is a really important idea in Proverbs. I mean, and it's the first idea that comes up after Solomon introduces what it's all about. So if you go, if you turn with me to Proverbs 1, and picking it up at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, don't be persuaded. If they say, come with us, let us set an ambush and kill someone. Let's attack some innocent person just for fun. Let's swallow them alive like Sheol, whole, like those who go down to the pit. We'll find all kinds of valuable property and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we'll all share in the loot. My son, don't travel that road with them or set foot on their path, because their feet run towards evil and they hurry to shed blood. It is useless to spread a net where any bird can see it, but they set an ambush to kill themselves. They attack their own lives. Such are the paths of those who make profit dishonestly. It takes the lives of those who receive it. And you can see the point clearly here. Don't hang out with sinners. Don't listen to them. Certainly don't get caught up in the stuff that they're caught up in. Because as a general rule, because this is Proverbs, as a general rule, it's not going to end up well. And we all know it doesn't. I mean, think even of Solomon's own son, like his own biological son, Rehoboam. When Solomon died and Rehoboam began to reign, Rehoboam asked his father's wise advisors about what he should do. And then he asked his young, inexperienced mates about what he should do. The wise advisors said, well, the people feel like they're under a heavy burden. It'd be a really good idea for you if you could just lift that weight from them. But then he talked to his mates and his mate says, nah, just make it harder for them. That'll be fun. Now, who did Rehoboam listen to? Did he listen to the wise men or did he listen to his mates? If you know the story, he was enticed and persuaded by his mates. And he said to the people, if you thought my dad was tough, well, I'm just going to make him look like a weakling. And how did that work out for him? I can tell you, it didn't work out well. He lost most of his kingdom. He spent pretty much all of his reign at war with someone or other. He had a lot of his wealth carted off to foreign nations by foreign armies. As far as being a king goes, it didn't go well. Because he got hooked in with the wrong crowd. He ended up going somewhere where he didn't want to go. I mean, but we all know, like, this stuff, it's not just for ancient people. I'm sure all of you know people who've been enticed by the wrong kind of people, persuaded to go along with them, and it's just ended up going really badly. I often hear people say things like, you know, I knew this guy called John. You know, I got on with John, he was a decent guy, but then he started getting hooked in with this other crowd of people and he changed. And it didn't change him for the better. I mean, even that classic piece of Australian culture, The Castle. When Dale is telling us why his brother ended up in prison, but it wasn't his fault, you know, he just got caught up with the wrong crowd and ended up going to jail. So, I mean, it's not just Christians who know this. If it makes it to the castle, this is just a self-evident piece of advice that everybody knows. And by and large, you will become like the people you spend your time with. And where they go, you will most likely end up going, even if it's prison or worse. So I guess for us this morning, stop and think. You know, who are the people that you spend most of your time with? Who are the people who you'd call your closest friends? Who are the people you're becoming more and more like over time? Are they the people that you want to become? Are they going somewhere where you want to go? Because what you see in them is probably going to become true for you. It just seems to be the way people work. So, but don't just take my word for it. We've got Proverbs like Proverbs 13, verse 20. The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. So, you'll become wise if you hang out with wise people. You become like the people that you hang out with. But if you hang out with fools, you'll probably find yourself heading for the same harm that they are. There's 16:29. A violent person lures his neighbour, leading him on a path that isn't good. If you're enticed to hang out with violent people, you'll probably become violent yourself, and that's not good. And there's more fatherly wisdom in chapter 24, verse 21-22. My son, fear the Lord as well as the king, and don't associate with rebels, for destruction will come suddenly from them, and who knows what distress those two, as the king and the Lord, can bring. So again, if you hang out with rebels, you'll probably get caught up in the judgment that's coming on them. So better just not associate with them. There's 22, 24, and 25. Don't make friends with an angry person, and don't be a companion of a hot-tempered one, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Again, you become like your friends. There's something on this kind of point that really struck me a little while ago. When I was working at the refinery, let's just say the normal way that conversations went at the refinery, there were some words that were said quite often, often multiple times in the sentence, that I don't really hear over morning tea here after church. We'll just say it like that. That was just the normal way of talking. Now, using those words, it's never really been a problem for me. Once during a performance review, my boss made a point of saying that something he noticed about me at work is that I didn't swear, and that really stood out for him because I don't know why, but it did. Those words never even used to pop in my mind as I thought about things, but after a few years of being immersed in that environment, those words just started popping in my head as I started thinking about things. I didn't get to the point of saying them out loud, but it was just weird that they started popping into my thoughts, and I thought, oh, wow, where did that even come from? All I could put it down to was that I was just being conformed to this environment that I was in there, and I started taking on the language of the people that I was spending the time with. Because it's a real thing. We become like the people that we're around. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I know that there's this feeling that in all of us that says, well, everybody else might have a tendency to get dragged down by others, but, that won't happen to me. I'm stronger, I'm more capable, I'm more godly. It's never going to happen to me. Where others might fall, I'm going to be the one who stands. Well, yeah, I guess that's what I thought, but there I was being dragged down, because it really happens. And if you think that you're a special case who is stronger than everybody else, here's a word from 1 Corinthians. Whoever thinks he stands firm must be careful not to fall. Because it's happened to too many others to think that it's not something that you need to worry about. And these days it's not just the people you're spending time with. At least the people you're spending time with in person. Because, I mean, these days technology has opened up all these different ways that we can be spending time with people, not in person. I mean, the TV shows that you're watching, the media that you're the reading, the internet videos you're playing. You know, what are you seeing? What are you hearing, reading, watching? Who, you know, what is capturing your time and your attention, and whose thoughts are taking over your thoughts? And what effect is it happening on? Is it having on you? Is the content that you're consuming, is it helping you move towards what Proverbs calls wisdom? Or is it enticing you down another path? If you're watching a TV show and the content, it's full of, you know, violence and sexual immorality and other things like that, it's probably having more of an effect on you than what you realize. Especially if it's a, you know, long TV series and you're just watching it over and over again and being exposed to that stuff and developing a relationship with the characters that you're watching over and over. I mean, as think, you know, what, as you're interacting with people or as you're reading stuff, you know, what agendas are being pushed? Whose wheelbarrows are you jumping in and letting them drive you around in their wheelbarrow? Because whoever's wheelbarrow you're in, that's where you're going. And it's always important to take a step back and ask, you know, this person who wants me to jump on board with their way of thinking, are they a wise person, according to Proverbs? You know, are they peaceful, disciplined, truthful, full of integrity, even keeled? In the sense, you know, not given to excess, not excess in terms of emotions or overstating a case to make a point. Are they humble, careful that the things that they say and do are full of grace and truth? If they're not wise in that sort of sense, how much do you really want them to have, you know, how much do you want to have your thoughts molded by them? We need to think hard because it's easy to be deceived. We can complain about newspapers being sensational and unbalanced when it's something we disagree with, but then when we read something which is also sensational and unbalanced, but it's something we agree with, we think, oh, well, that's okay. So by just saying it's okay, we're getting enticed away from wisdom. So, I mean, I guess all of this is to say, I mean, the point is we all need to stop and think, who is discipling me? Who is influencing me? Who am I imitating in the things that I say and do? And once you've identified who it is, stop and take a step back and think, is this a wise influence for me? Or are they persuading me to walk away from wisdom? But I admit, though, in this fallen world, it's not easy. I mean, if the advice is not to hang around with unwise people, I mean, you might think, well, we'll just stay away from people who aren't Christians then. It's easy. Well, it's not that easy. Sadly, I mean, think back to the reading earlier, and the verse from 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul says, "You know, I wrote to you in a letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. I don't mean the immoral people of the world, or the greedy and the swindlers and idolaters. Otherwise, you'd have to leave the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister and is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, or verbally abusive, a drunkard, or a swindler." So, I mean, Paul's saying we're not to leave the world because he doesn't want us to leave the world. He wants us to be a light of the gospel in the world. So, I mean, if we're here, we need to be... So, we're here. We're called to be here. But if we are here, we need to be careful about being enticed by the ungodly influences here. Be on guard against falling in love with the things of the world and loving them more than God. Because we will be being influenced that way just by being here. And we need to be watchful. You know, staying in the world, it's not a matter of wisdom like we're talking about in Proverbs. It's a command. So it's a matter of obedience, which is a whole other level. So we're commanded to stay in the world, but at the same time, we're also commanded to not be of the world. So we need to be wise about how closely we associate with the world. We need to put safeguards in place to limit the influence of the world on our hearts and our minds. I mean, in fact, yeah, so we need to do that. And I mean, so a lot of the key behaviours that we talked about in the vision and stuff that we want to encourage here at church, you know, things like reading the Bible regularly, coming to church on a Sunday. I mean, these things are safeguards for us against developing hearts that turn away from the living God. So, yeah, I guess we need to be wise about who, you know, the people that we spend time with. But staying away from unwise people is also hard because we can't just assume that people at church are wise and godly influences either. Just because someone writes a blog and calls themselves a Christian, it doesn't mean that they really are and that they're going to be a good influence or that they're a wise Christian at that. I mean, the people Paul is warning about there in that 1 Corinthians passage, they're people you meet at church, people who claim to be Christian brothers or sisters and yet act unwisely or even disobediently. Because those things Paul mentions there, they're matters of obedience, they're not wisdom. So, I mean, I guess I'm just trying to say wise living, it always calls for discernment. We always need to be discerning about how I can live in the world without being influenced so much by it that I become like the world, become of the world. It also calls for discernment regarding who we look up to. Am I looking up to the person because I like them and they agree with my opinions? Or am I looking up to them because I see godly wisdom in them and they say, in the things that they say and do? Just because someone is likable, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily a good influence. So, I mean, we're always being influenced. We're always being discipled one way or another. Wise people will know that and make sure and be deliberate that the influence is good and deliberate that they're being discipled to be more like Christ, because we can't just assume that it's going to happen naturally. But, I mean, if you struggle a little bit with just discerning just who to hang out with, I mean, another piece of fatherly wisdom in Proverbs is this. Look at the fruit of their life. Is their life bringing blessing to those around them, or does their life tear others down? Do they bring rejoicing and life to others, or is there a trail of destruction behind them? Because, I mean, looking at the effect that their life has on others can tell you a lot about the person. I mean, look at these Proverbs here. So 11, verse 11. A city is built up by the blessing of the upright, but it is torn down by the mouth of the wicked. 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. A righteous person acts with integrity. His children who come after him will be happy. Remove impurities from silver and material will be produced for a silversmith. Remove the wicked from the king's presence and his throne will be established in righteousness. And when the righteous triumph, there is great rejoicing. But when the wicked come to power, people hide. When the wicked come to power, people hide. But when they are destroyed, the righteous flourish. When the righteous flourish, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, people groan. Mockers inflame a city, but the wise will turn away anger. When the wicked increase, rebellion increases. But the righteous will see their downfall. So I guess, how do you discern someone who you should want to hang out with? look at the effect that they have on those around them. Do others around them rejoice? Or do they make people groan? Does conflict and division and inflamed emotions follow them wherever they go? Or do they leave a trail of blessing? Are people around them built up or are they torn down? Do the people around them flourish or do people run and hide from them? The effect that they have on those around them will tell you a lot about them. Because by and large, the righteous, the people that you want to follow, the people you want to imitate, they will have a positive effect on the people around them. And they will rejoice, they will flourish. While the wicked, you know, the people that you don't want to hang around with, people you don't want to listen to, they're a burden for the people who have the misfortune of being around them. So if you're not sure who to spend time with, who to hang out with, just look at the effect that they have on other people's lives around them. Now, I guess there's two other points of application that flow from this. You know, the first is, if you want our church to flourish, if you want our city to flourish, if you want our state or our country to flourish, if you want there to be lots of rejoicing here, we need to pray that God would raise up wise, godly leaders, or more broadly, wise and godly people. Leaders who live upright lives according to God's righteousness and justice, and people, you know, who look on their neighbours and do what's in their power to help. Even praying that those wise, godly people would be us, that we would be a people who are seeking the well-being of our community by, you know, treating everyone we come across wisely, with integrity, grace, mercy, and truth. If we want our communities to flourish, it'll happen by God raising up wise, godly people who do what's right. So we pray for that. I mean, the second point of application is this. Think about this question. What happens when you walk into a room? What happens when you call people on the phone? Do people groan, look for a place to hide? Do they treat you like a telemarketer? Oh, sorry, this line's not really good. Or are people generally happy to see you and get a call from you? You know, when you leave the room, when you end the call, are people feeling built up or are they feeling torn down? I mean, I guess, think about what is the effect that you have on others? And what does that say about yourself? Just a couple of things to think about. But getting back to the main point of fatherly, you know, advice from a heavenly father. Be careful about the company that you keep. You know, be careful that the people who are influencing you are influencing you for good and not for ill. And I mean, think, you know, Jesus is the example of this because Jesus is always the example. As you look through the Gospels, he lived in the world. He interacted with all sorts of people in the world. He didn't go and join the Essene community out of Qumran and flee from the world. Yet, he didn't allow the world to influence him away from God. Instead, he stayed more closely connected to God than anyone or anything else. He would often go up the mountain by himself to pray and not just say the Lord's Prayer for 5 minutes and come down. He'd stay up the whole night for quite some time praying. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was there praying all night. I mean, he was deliberate about staying more connected with God than anything else. I mean, he went to synagogue every Saturday. He knew all the will of God. He only did what God would have him do. He only said the things God told him to say. He was obedient to all God's commands. He never sinned. He was intimately connected with God. Of all the people Jesus met on earth, he was most deeply connected with his Father. Of all the people Jesus associated with, his closest association by far was with the Lord, the righteous one. No one was ever going to be more important for Jesus than that. No one was ever going to entice him away from that. And though we might not know the Father in the same way that Jesus did, the good news today is that we can know God, the righteous one. And And he's even seeking us so that we might know the blessing of being connected to the righteous one. I mean, that's a key reason why Jesus came here in the first place. In John 1, it starts off saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It goes on to say, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, this Son has revealed God to us." So it's saying, if God's fatherly wisdom this morning is to hang out with people who are righteous, because that will influence you in a good way, today we can know the righteous God, what he would do, what he would think, what he would say. We can know that and be influenced by that as we look at Jesus. Because though we might not see God the Father, we see the way that God the Father would relate to people in Jesus, because Jesus is God. And Jesus has made known to us, has revealed to us the righteous ways of God our Father. So much so that Jesus even says that when we see him, we see the Father. Because Jesus perfectly shows his righteousness, his ways. And so if we're going to be hanging out with Jesus, so that we might be influenced by Jesus in good ways, how do we do that? Well, we can know Jesus through his word, by reading it regularly. We can know Jesus through prayer. We can know Jesus through his church. And when we seek to know him and his ways above anyone else, we know the blessing of being connected to the righteous one. So, this week, I want to encourage you to make sure that you spend some time with Jesus. Spend some time with him in prayer. Present your requests to him. Especially ask him for wisdom about what to say and do as you live day to day, because he promises to give you it. Spend time with his people. Spend time with him in his word. Allow him to speak his ways and his righteousness to you through it. Ultimately, seek him, spend time with him to allow him to influence you for good in righteous ways. Because you'll find that when you walk with him, he will lead you to life and blessing. When you associate with him above all others, he will influence you for your good. When his words and his ways triumph in your life, you will rejoice. You will flourish. Let me pray now that it be so. Father, we thank you that you are a good and loving Father. Father, we thank you that you want to see, you want to see good in our lives. You want us to rejoice. You want us to flourish. And Father, we thank you that you are offering, that you offer your Son that we might know him, and that knowing him that we might know you. And so Father, we ask that we would spend time with you this week, that we would spend time with you each week, forevermore. Pray that we would spend time with you in prayer. Just pray that we would see you as we spend time with your people. And Father, we pray that you would speak your words to us and speak your righteousness to us as we read your word together, as we read your word. And as we seek you, Father, we pray that we would rejoice and that we would flourish, because we know that you cause all things to work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.